So today we are continuing to unfold the flow of the Brahmaviharas, the immeasurables, our best homes. And we're going to open to what happens when that quality of metta, that goodwill, that friendliness, when that encounters what is going well. Yeah? And that going well can take lots of different flavors. You know, what's beautiful, what's delightful, what's pleasant, what's wholesome. And so when metta encounters that, what naturally arises is mudita, quality of you know, we've been referring to it a lot as appreciation. The actual word mudita simply means joy. Yeah. But in the context of the teachings and the Brahmaviharas, it particularly refers to what is translated as unselfish joy, or appreciative joy, sometimes empathetic joy. Yeah. For some of us, the word gladness might have more of that sense, you know, just a sense of gladness, not something that is not so much conditioned by getting something or getting rid of something. It's considered, it's really interesting, it's the Brahmavihara that is least talked about, least practiced. It's changing, you know, the Dharma is changing, and I think nowadays we talk about it a lot more and then, you know, in my time, and I think probably Laura's time even more in the monastic tradition. Be serious. But it's interesting. It's considered, spoken of in the tradition as the most difficult Brahmavihara to cultivate, which is really interesting. You know why that is? Because it's so something that we so much have, yeah, and we can touch on, we can build on to a great degree. You know, it's just that resonance. You know, when we hear a bird singing, you know. There's a blackbird that is on a tree, you know, and whenever I kind of walk in the mornings or the evenings from, you know, coming out of the building and going into the Dartmoor Wing where the teacher wing is, you know, I walk that little bit of strip of tarmac and there's a blackbird that's always singing there. And just, you know, if I hear it and I'm attentive, it's naturally, it arises. Yeah? Not much that needs to be done. You know, if you've spent time out here in the ground, you know, seeing the robins coming really close, you know, that's the natural sense of, or, you know, this time of year, the beauty of the colours. You know, it's quite astounding. You know, see that freshness of the green. You know, other ways we may know this in our lives, you know. Hearing the laughter of children. You know, you ever had that experience going by, you know, just walking by a playground or something and just hearing, you know, when there's that real carefree laughter of children, just really happy. Yeah. And you might not notice it, but somewhere in your being you're smiling when you hear that. Yeah. It might be your face, but it might be something else that's just moved, that's just touched by that. I'm just going to give a few more examples. You know, in our practice, sometimes when we notice just that magic, that wonder of a footstep when we're doing walking practice, the contact of the earth, the softness of the kind of grassy earth, we get a sense of that appreciation just naturally arising, or just the well-being of a breath. Really tune into it. And so it's really something that's there, and we also get it sometimes with each other. You know, I have this secret mudita practice, which is I love watching people doing their walking meditation. You just peek out and I see, you know, people doing the practice, and it just fills me with a sense of and it's really like a resonance for me. It's like an echoing. You see someone doing something or enjoying something, stopping to smell a flower, and it's that resonance of we feel it. Really interesting. And maybe just saying that, we can start to see the depth, the insight of where this is going. And so, this quality, this way of relating, we do, it does exist in our psyche, in our heart, mind, in our makeup. It can be very obscured, and we'll talk about that more through the day. There can be a lot of blocks for it, of course. But it is something that we can also actively cultivate and grow. Something that we can actively cultivate and grow. And this is where the appreciation is really significant. I just want to kind of take a little bit of time there. So if someone kind of said to me, okay, you have to choose your favorite translation or expression of mudita, I would find it very difficult to choose. Between the unselfish joy, which I think gives us a real sense of what it is, and the appreciative joy, which gives us a real sense of the kind of cultivation of it. So luckily I don't have to choose, so I can say both. And so the power of appreciative joy and that relationship between appreciation and joy, I just want to spend some time, appreciation and gladness. It can be interesting to just reflect for ourselves. Have I had a moment of joy where there was not some degree of appreciation? It can be interesting to just reflect on. And when I appreciate something, is it possible to appreciate and to keep the joy out? or does it tend to follow the appreciation? This is a kind of an interesting contemplation to have for ourselves. And for many of us, appreciation is much more accessible than joy. Joy can feel like, oh no, I need to be joyful now, how do I do that? It's kind of dramatic. But appreciation, or some of the other similar qualities like gratitude, something that we can open to, even mildly. And that appreciation comes along with gratitude, with delighting or cherishing. That can be another way of expressing appreciation. It plants the seeds for joy to arise, or it creates the conditions for joy to arise. And so in our cultivation of mudita, what we're interested in is inclining to appreciation. It can be just like dropping in the question, what can I appreciate about this? What is there to appreciate in experience right now? So these are two slightly different angles, perspectives. One is, here's something going on, say, a very restless mind. And what can I appreciate about that can be one question that we can ask. And another perspective can be, there's a restless mind. Is there anything that I can appreciate that's available in experience right now that is not the restless mind? And that's opening up our perspective to more of our experience, because there will be more than the restless mind. I know you've all got very, very calm and quiet minds by now. This is just me. I'm not restless mind. You're all, third day of retreat. It's safe, whenever at some point you may encounter a restless mind again. That's the example. Is there something else, maybe there's, there's a restless mind, and to go back to the first thread, I can appreciate that there's energy here. You know, when there's restlessness, there's energy. So, there's something I can appreciate. Yeah. And if I can appreciate the energy, I can pay more attention to the energy. And as I pay more attention to the energy, the restlessness becomes less of a problem. Because I'm not caught in the content. So you can see how this can work. And equally, you know, there's something, a restless mind, a pain in the body. What else is there? Is there something else that I can appreciate right now? Inclining to appreciation is, sometimes the mind might be restless, the body might actually not be restless. Yeah? Sometimes they're both. Yeah? But sometimes, that's interesting, we don't notice it until we start to look. Or the part of the mind that is recognizing that there's a restless mind, that's not restless. I can appreciate that. So we have more possibilities. And so a key aspect of cultivating mudita is inclining the mind to appreciation. And I gave you two ways of doing it. There's something I can appreciate in what is happening right now, which sometimes can be a little bit more tricky. Or is there something that I can appreciate that I'm not paying attention to, but I can bring attention to? Yeah. Does that make sense, that distinction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Another interesting thing about appreciation is that when we bring appreciation to something, we view something with appreciation, that something will tend to kind of grow in our awareness. We'll take up more space. This happens with attention anyway. Yeah? But when we bring appreciation in, that will kind of grow. Yeah? And this is how appreciation can lead to joy. Yeah? So I'm appreciating maybe just this sense of softness in the breath right now. Yeah? You know, I breathe in practice and I'm just noticing, there's this softness and there's fluidity in the breath. And I'm paying attention to that and I'm appreciating that. And then as I'm appreciating, with the appreciation, the kind of amount of space that pleasantness of the breath takes will grow. It will become more dominant, more prominent in attention. And that can also be a real way of inclining the mind to what brings well-being. It can become a real resource for us over time. So cultivating over time this capacity to intentionally appreciate what is appreciatable, and to turn, that means that we turn our attention to that which is nourishing, that which is okay rather than not okay an experience, and also potentially to that which is beautiful, that which is moving, that which is lovely, that which is comfortable. So we're opening beyond the conditioned patterns of the mind. And a strong conditioned pattern of our mind is to notice that which is not okay. Yeah? If you've noticed that about your own mind, it's not just your own mind. It's a very strong conditioning. Once again, modern science has caught up with the Buddha's teachings. It's called the negativity bias. It has a name. We notice what is not okay much more than what is. It's a survival mechanism that we've inherited from our ancestors. It's got some functionality, but a lot of the time it's just operating, and it's actually not very helpful. So when we kind of develop this capacity to turn our attention to what we can appreciate or what we're grateful for, we're balancing that negativity bias. And we're strengthening the flexibility and the malleability of our minds. our capacity, both in the moment, you know, we can turn away from, turn to something that is, that can bring, that brings appreciation, that can bring joy and delight. But also over time, we are changing, you know, the habits of the mind, which again, meditators from all traditions have been saying is possible for thousands of years, and now we know also with modern science, yeah, that this is possible to do, to change the grooves of our mind. Sometimes when we teach this, people will say, you know, aren't you just kind of creating a fake reality? Sounds a bit like, it's a bit like Pollyanna. Don't know how many people here, kind of my generation, Pollyanna was a big thing. Don't know how many people know this, but anyway, if you don't, I won't go down that route. But isn't it a bit superficial? Isn't it a bit just kind of painting a veneer of pink on everything? If you like pink, I prefer yellow, but yeah, or green. And, you know, I would say explore for yourself and see. This is not a superficial practice. It's actually about kind of turning our attention and developing a sensitivity to see what is already going well, what is already worth appreciating in our experience, and then nourishing that, making that a stronger habit of our mind. And that'd be one way that we can see it, you know. And the other, you need to say, you know, we're always seeing through particular conditionalities, you know, and patterns. You know, so the negativity bias is not more true, you know, than mudita is. And so, you know, choosing, as we're being invited with these teachings, for ourselves, through our own experience, what brings more well-being? And when there's more well-being in this body, heart and mind, how does that impact the world that we live in? Mm-hmm. That's what we want to explore and ask. And the more we do this, yeah, the more flexibility, I said that, but it's so important, yeah, to choose where we pay attention, what we pay attention to, yeah, to choose that. Really valuable practice, certainly in my own experience. And as I already mentioned, but I want to say again, you know, I've emphasized appreciation. For some of us, gratitude will be more accessible and they work in the same way. So, you know, maybe that it's kind of more accessible for us to open to what we're grateful for. You know, and again, it's gratitude for a breath. If you haven't experienced gratitude for a breath yet, then try it. Just gratitude for this, for a breath. Gratitude for a step. Gratitude for the fact that, you know, someone's cooking for us. And they're doing a pretty good job. Gratitude for the simple things, and, you know, also the big things that we have the privilege to be able to come here, to this place, and to practice, to give our time. We can reflect on that. Not from a place that brings a sense of guilt, but from a place of saying, yeah, appreciation is a privilege, and how do I use that? How do I use that well? So, you know, gratitude really, you know, the immediacy, the simplicity. A lot of gratitude just for the colour green, you know, and the colour blue. Just simple things. And from there the practice builds. So with the traditional practice that we'll be introducing this morning, we use phrases And again, like with compassion and metta, we can use phrases, we can use images or a felt sense. And as always, you know, we gradually expand from kind of what's more immediate to wider and wider circles. I tend to teach mudita practice and practice it myself, beginning with our immediate experience. This is not the traditional way, and I think this is why it's got the kind of label of being the most difficult of the Brahma Viharas, because in the tradition we start with someone else. And I think it's really helpful to get a sense of that appreciation with ourselves, with our own experience before we expand. But as always, feel free to do what works for you. If it feels inaccessible, then try it with somebody else that you're really happy for. You know, it might be if you've seen the lambs kind of hopping around in the fields and you're not thinking about their future, then, you know, you can, sorry, my ethical, it comes out once in a while, but anyway, you know, the joy for them or the birds, you know, in the kind of aliveness at this time of year, you know, so maybe something really just like that, that kind of naturally arises. Or again, if we go back to the pets at home, you know, their excitement when you come home, or when they hear the food arriving, or whatever it is, you know. Yeah, see, like you see that, there's mudita, you know, in the smiles and laughs that I hear, you know, that sense of that excitement and that it's coming. So we can, we gradually expand. So we can use images, we can use a felt sense, we can use phrases. And as always, we remember, this is a practice of intention. So we're cultivating the intention, even if we don't feel particularly, you know, appreciative or joyful. We may be feeling quite grumpy, you know. We're cultivating that intention. And we're holding that grumpiness with a lot of metta and compassion. And so I want to just touch on that appropriateness of using the Brahma Vihara skillfully, and just in what I said there. You know, sometimes, you know, for some of us, mudita practice can feel either generally or in the particular circumstances of right now like a really tall order. If my whole being is grumpy, you know, contracted, and someone says, you know, oh, appreciate the breath. Don't tell me to appreciate the breath. So, you know, meet that appropriately. If that's what's going on, and it just, it's like just bringing appreciation or that word mudita close to the experience aggravates. Swap over. Use compassion, you know. Use metta. That's why we have this whole group. That's why we have a whole family, yeah, of sisters, of beautiful supportive qualities, and we can use any of them, and each of them supports the others to grow. So really use appropriateness, whether it's general, a general sense of actually where I am right now, the conditions of my life, the conditions of the body, heart, mind. Compassion is the right thing, or metta is the right thing. Listen to yourself. You're the authority on your experience. So feel, you know, it's not... The fact that there's a different instruction every day doesn't mean that you have to follow the trajectory at that pace. So really, appropriateness and using compassion and metta as much as is needed. And as I said yesterday, potentially a completely different practice as well. Yeah. If all the Brahma Viharas feel like too much right now and not appropriate, then we use something else that is helpful and is appropriate for us. So yeah, I think that's enough talking. Could talk about mudita all day, but I'll spare you out of compassion. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, need to have a stretch, any degree, standing or just stretching a part of the body. And please do ready, finding your posture for this time. Have about half an hour for practice. Perhaps as we're settling into the posture and making any adjustments, might be a light touch of appreciation for the body. Which is allowing us to be here and to practice. Checking in with the balance of uprightness and ease. Inviting the body to settle more fully into the support of all that is supporting the body, the earth, the ground, the mat, the seat. Feeling the awareness coming deep into the body and inviting it to settle in the contact sensations between the body and that which supports it. When you're ready in your own time, from that grounding, that rootedness in the contact sensations, gently allowing the awareness to open. To expand through the body. The whole space of the body, awareness, open and spread, expand. expanded through the whole body. Sense of the whole body here. Inviting yourself to open to what's present in experience right now. Whole body, include the sounds, movement of the breath, seeing if possible to open to something, an immediate experience that feels nourishing or beautiful, supportive, pleasant, something that can be appreciated. Something that you're grateful for. Might be the sounds of the birds or the possibility to hear them. Softness of the breathing. Steadiness of the body, or a particular part of the body that might feel pleasant or easeful. Some of us, it can be the palms of the hands or the whole hand. Part of the face. Just underneath the eyes is another one. Or the lower belly. Just some examples. So without feeling a sense of pressure, just inviting the awareness to be wide and noticing anything that can be appreciated or that you're grateful for. The immediacy of the body life, the breath, or of the soundscape. And if you're aware of something like that, just gently offering it your attention. Making it the anchor of attention and meeting it with appreciation. At any time that particular anchor disappears or changes in a way that makes it less appreciable. And finding something else. And as you tune in to something that is pleasant, nourishing, comfortable, supportive in your experience right now, and also begin using the phrases. As always, I'll be offering some phrases and opening the invitation for you to use any of them or none of them, these different phrases. May I appreciate the joy I experience. May the joy I experience continue and grow. May I be filled with joy and gladness. May I appreciate the joy I experience. May the joy I experience continue and grow. May I be filled with joy and gladness. So noticing for yourself if you just tune in to the mudita flavor without the particular anchor object of a pleasant, supportive object right now in direct experience, or if it's helpful to stay in tune with that alongside the phrases or without the phrases. Nourishing the capacity and the intention to open to appreciation and to nourish it. is always finding your pace and rhythm. May I learn to appreciate the joy I experience. May the joy I experience continue and grow. May I be filled with joy and gladness. And gently inviting into awareness, being for whom relatively accessible, natural to feel happiness in their happiness, to rejoice in what is going well for them. To bring their image to mind, be helpful to bring an image of them, joyful, intent. Bringing that mudita intention you appreciate the joy you experience. May the joy you experience continue and grow. May you be filled with joy and gladness. May you appreciate the joy you experience. May the joy you experience continue and grow. May you be filled with joy and gladness. Taking the time that you need to really resonate with the frequency of the intention, keeping that image, if you can, of the other, the place of well-being. Feeling that wish for gladness move through you as it flows towards another, nourishing both of you. May you appreciate the joy you experience. May the joy you experience continue and grow. May you be filled with joy and gladness. Expanding the field of mudita now, field of awareness. You can keep the being you've been directing the mudita to in your awareness, but include yourself. Include those directly around you in the hall. Knowing that we all know moments of sorrow and difficulty and moments of joy and well-being. Feeling that appreciation and that wish to appreciate all of that. May we appreciate the joy we experience. May the joy we experience continue and grow. May we be filled with joy and gladness. Expanding awareness further to include all of us here in the hall. Appreciating each other for our practice. The mutual support that we offer each other through being here. May we appreciate the joy we experience. May the joy we experience continue and grow. May we be filled with joy and gladness. Allowing that field of awareness, to grow even more. Include everyone here in the grounds of Gaia House and within Gaia House. Surrounding fields and woodlands and villages. If you wish, including all beings, the whole earth, and all the life that it carries and nurtures. May we all appreciate the joy we experience. May the joy we experience continue and grow. May all beings everywhere be filled with joy and gladness. Like with any of the practices, appropriateness, if you like this practice, you can pick it up and it might be your primary practice for today. Equally, any of the other practices that we've introduced so far, seeing what's appropriate. It can also be really beautiful to begin to extend the practice beyond formal practice times. So in the transitions, and at times when, during your work period, during the meal times, during the resting times, we can start to explore. And with this one, with mudita, just a very gentle, light attention to what can be appreciated right now. So, I noticed through this practice that I really like the feeling of water. So every time I wash my hands, it's a moment to appreciate just that sense of water, on the skin. A cup of tea, if you like tea. And we can appreciate, the warmth, the smell, the sense of comfort, just to open to that. We ordered this day for this practice, and we see how powerful Laura's practice is, not mine. Managed to manifest it. So, the sunshine, the warmth, the breeze, all of these, can be the coolness of the shade. It may be that after being in the sun for some time, that's what we appreciate. So really opening to that, noticing, the flowers, the beauty, like I said, the colours. Anything that touches the heart and can be appreciated. And not making a kind of, I need to do it in every single moment thing out of it, but just that once in a while dropping it in and seeing if it nourishes the heart, how it impacts experience. And taking time to savour, to enjoy, to delight. Another way mudita is spoken of, this is a non-traditional translation, active delight. So delighting intentionally in something. Really lean into that. Appreciate and absorb the goodness. You can also do, I like this on-the-spot practice. So you might be in the queue, to the toilet or for a meal. And you can just have a sense of mudita, or metta, actually, or compassion for the other people in the line with you. Just extend it along. It'd be really fun. If someone's finally gone into the loop, just really appreciate it. Sense of relief. Or, as you're standing around the corner from the food queue, imagining the people are already there. And just having a sense of appreciation. But it can also just be as you're moving around. This is both around the house or doing the formal movement practice, walking. Just whoever kind of crosses your attention. And you might not even register who that is. You just see a movement. And it's like, may you be filled with gladness. Or may you be happy. Any of the phrases that touch you. Just having that sense, and it can inform, particularly the walking practice, can be a really beautiful way of doing it. As you're walking up and down, a sense of the earth, the air, and the creatures around you, you hear a bird. You'd be filled with gladness. You see an insect flying by. You'd be filled with gladness. You see, kind of catch the movement of other people around you. May your joy grow. So whatever, can really bring that in. And with walking or movement practice in particular, really noticing, I've touched on it, we have beauty. What touches the heart? And appreciating it. Appreciating it. And it can sometimes really feel like soaking in. The image of mudita I have is like going into a cool body of water on a really hot day. That immersion and that enjoying it, absorbing it. As much as you can and you wish to. And remembering, just remind this, for whatever reason the conditions aren't there and this just creates more constriction, compassion. Compassion, friendliness, and equanimity through the steadiness of the breath and of the body. So wishing us all an enjoyable and fruitful exploration with the practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.